guys like that song? I see you bobbing your heads out there. So we're in a series right now called Stacks on Stacks. And if you don't know what that means, it's just a fancy way, new way of saying you have a lot of money. So if you have stacks on stacks, that means you have stacks on stacks of cash. And we're talking about being a rich giver, being, what does it mean to be rich, and how do we deal with having stacks on what matters most? And so we're continuing. This is the third part of this series. And if you've missed any of this series, I'll just kind of give you a quick review. The first thing we talked about is there's good news and bad news to being rich. The good news is you're rich. You have rich people opportunities. You can do things. You can pay for stuff to save you time. You don't have to wash your car yourself. You can pay $8 and go to the car wash, and you don't have to spend all that time. There's rich people opportunities. But the bad news is you're rich. And so you have rich people problems. You have things in your life because when you're rich, it makes it harder to depend on God. It's less opportunities to exercise your faith. And it also puts greater responsibility on you because when Jesus gives, when much is given, much is expected. So that's the first thing we talked about. And the second thing we talked about last week was deceptive dealings. We talked about how money can be deceptive and like how you go to Chuck E. Cheese and you feel like you have enough tickets and you push your kid out of the way and you're like, let me do it, son. You don't really, let me get the tickets and you're going to get the big super soaker at the top. But then they've tricked you. It was deceptive. You get the little trinket, the little monster you put on your finger. That's what you go home with all the tickets that you've earned. Just change it out for money. And that's how it is. It's deceptive dealings. It tricks us. It makes us think that we're more powerful and we can get more. And there's never, never enough. You can never make enough money. And we talked about how money is the number one competitor against God for your heart. And Scripture says that blatantly. And it's the thing is, it's not that one master that you can just deny once. It's that master that you have to continually deny. Because if you've denied them, that's great. If you deny money as your master, it's great. But there's going to come an opportunity in the future. We're going to have some more riches, and you're going to have to deny that master again. So we talked about that. And so if you've missed any of the series, if we could put that graphic up real quick with the message site. If you've missed any of the series, real easy, guys, last two sermons, villageheights.church/messages. All of our sermons are right there. Everything that we preach on, all the series we've done are right there. So if you've missed the last two sermons, please go listen to them because it is life-changing. Thank you so much. So today, we're going to talk about something. If money wasn't uncomfortable enough, we're going to talk some more about money. And it's going to get a little uncomfortable today, guys. I have to be honest with you. It's going to get a little uncomfortable. It might be a little hard for some of us to talk about. So we're going to talk about being an audacious giver. And audacious basically means just extravagantly, to give big. We're talking about being an audacious giver. So how many of you, by raise of hands, say that you want to be a below average giver? Nobody raised their hand. See, no, oh, somebody did. Oh, gosh. I saw you back there. You don't always want to be a below average giver. That's not something that you wear proudly. So you would think that you're not. I got some news for you, people. If you are rich, in which you are, and we learned in the past two sermons, if you are making $30,000 in your household, you are in the top 3% of earners globally. Top 3% of earners globally. If your household makes $80,000 or more, you are in the top 1/10 of top earners in this world. You are rich. You guys, you are rich, okay? So, with that said, I have to break it to you that chances are you are a below-average giver. Because when it comes to riches, the more money you have, statistics have shown, the more money that somebody has, the more riches that they have, the less likely they are to give large. Now, their numbers might look large, but as a percentage, it's not hurting them much because they're not giving a large percentage of what their income is. They actually give less. So the more you earn, the less you give. And studies also shown that the bottom 20% of earners give two times as much percentage-wise out of their earnings, their blessings, than the top 20% of givers. It's an amazing number. So nobody is really proud of this. Nobody admits this. When a big rich person comes along and they drop a load of money in front of somebody and say, hey, I'm going to give this to charity, they don't tell you what the percentage of their income that truly is, what those riches really mean. Because if they told you the percentage, then it's like, wait a minute, you mean I make less than you and I give a higher percentage? So they don't talk about that. It's not something that we're proud of. And honestly, as Christ followers, we serve the biggest giver ever. The biggest giver this world has ever known. But ironically, all over the world in churches, they're filled with people that are below average givers. How is it possible that we serve the one who is the biggest giver of all time, and we are below average givers? But there are things that we don't feel bad about, that we're actually proud about. See, some of us excel in shopping, okay? We're really good at it, okay? And we boast about it, and that's great, that's wonderful. We're really good at it. And some of us, we excel in buying gadgets, of having the latest technology and having the coolest stuff. We excel in that, and we're proud of it, and we boast about it. Another thing is that we excel in buying toys. And by toys, I mean like adult toys. You know what I'm talking about. Like, you know, the cars and the boats. And we excel in it. We're really good at it. We're proud of it. Some of us excel in spending money that we don't, on things that we don't need. We'll buy stuff that we never needed in the first place, and it'll just sit in our garage. We excel at that. And some of us excel in spending money that you don't have. The money that you haven't earned yet, you're really good at spending that money. So if we are, as a human, if we really fail at being rich, why does God keep making us rich? Why does God keep giving us opportunities and talents to make more money? And the truth is, God wants you to be rich. You are his children. And as any parent would want for their child, they want to bless them. I want to give my kids the best that I can. I want to buy the best baby bottles that I can for my baby. I want to buy the best diapers, which is a lie, guys. There's a diaper is a diaper. Okay, don't believe the lies that these big corporate thugs in diaper industry tell you. So I want the best for my kids. I want to get my son a great birthday present because I want to bless him. God feels the same way about you. He wants to bless you. So even though you're probably bad at being rich, he still wants to bless you. He still wants to make you rich and give you opportunities because, as it says in Scripture, he gives us everything to enjoy. But he also wants to know that everything that he gives us is not just for us. The blessings that he pours out on us gives us the opportunity to do just as God did in blessing us. And we get to pay that forward and bless others. And that's the way that it's meant to be. So as we get into Scripture here, we're going to talk about, there's going to be a lot of Scripture. And if you're taking notes, please keep up and pay attention. I'm going to be referencing a lot. And I'm not doing this just to confuse you guys, to trick you into giving money or anything like that. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm showing you is that this isn't Bill's opinion on being a giver. Okay? This isn't my opinion on it. It's not Village Heights' opinion. It's not whatever denomination out there that I might be credentialed through, their opinion. This is Scripture's opinion. This is God's opinion, Jesus' opinion on giving. So, hear me out on it, because what happens most of the time is we get locked in on the minutiae of it, and we miss the big picture. Okay, we get locked in on percentages and the technicalities, and we worry about those things, and we totally miss the mark on what it's meant to be. So we're going to clear those things up today, guys. We're going to answer some questions, and it's going to be awesome. So this first Scripture I'm going to point out to you guys, if you have it on your Bible apps there, also be on the screens. It's 2 Corinthians 9:11, and what it says is, you will be enriched. Enriched means you'll be given, you'll be bestowed upon in massive manner. You'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. It didn't say you'll be enriched to keep it for yourself, to buy the coolest things. It said you'll be enriched to give in every, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So imagine you're rich, right? Imagine you realize this. It's finally come to you. The dong has gone off in your head, the bong or whatever it may be, the kong, what do you think? Whatever. Dong, yeah, gong, yeah, that's what it is. I'm going to go through the whole alphabet, guys. You're just going to let me do that and get the zong. If that went off in your head and you realize that you are rich, right? And then you decide that you're going to take a little bit of your blessings and you're going to go bless somebody else. And it's not going to make sense, right? It's not going to make sense. You're going to find someone random. You're going to bless them. Imagine that your blessing be so life-changing that they wouldn't just be thanking you. They would be thanking God for that blessing. And that is a high honor. That your whatever blessing that you hand over, however you be an audacious giver, that they're thanking God for it. And if you could grab that thing over there. So one of the cool things we do here, and it started off and it was organic and fluid, and it's amazing. Something we do every summer is that, and it started before we launched our church. This was like our first initiative as a church to raise funds for, was for the Star of Hope kids. And if you've been here long enough, you know what that is. And so during the summer, homeless kids, as you would imagine, they don't have any money. So they don't get to have a normal kid opportunity life during the summer. So when kids are going to Disneyland and doing all these things, they don't get that, right? And so then when they go back to school, they don't have these stories to tell, to share about all these awesome times. So in came Village Heights. We said, you know what? We're going to make sure that happens. And so we raise money every summer, raise thousands of dollars to send a group of kids, probably anywhere from 20 to 50 kids, to go on summer trips so they can have real kid awesome opportunities, the opportunities that you remember in your summers as a kid. We send them to the movies. We send them to go go-karts, to do all sorts of things, to have pizza parties, to do really cool stuff. So the first year that we did it, it was just a cool experience. And the girl that was in representation of that organizes it all, she came out, and we gave her a check, and we said, oh, this is awesome. And we raised $1,600 for them. When she came, she was expecting like $100, you know, something like that. She was blown away that she was crying. And I was like, stop crying. You know, this is not that big of, this is not all that much of money. But she said, you just don't understand what this is going to mean to these kids. And so, awesome, great, you know. And so went on their way, and she called and said, hey, if you want, you can come hang out with us. You know, you paid for it. You can come hang out. You know, come enjoy the opportunity. And so we did. We took the opportunity. And it was amazing just to be around these kids and for them to come up to us on their own accord. They weren't told. They weren't coached. Come to us, and they thanked us for what we did. And all I could think is it was the least that we could do. They give you an opportunity. So in the first year, they gave us this at the end of the summer, and it brought us to tears. So all the kids they put on here, and they can't put all the kids on here because of kind of a sensitive family situation, but they gave us a picture, and they all signed it saying, thank you so much for what we did. And it was the least that we do. Our blessing that Jesus gave to us, we were able to give it to them, and they in turn thanked God for what we did. And the awesome thing about it is that we get to take this now. So when we finally get a building, whenever that is, whenever God sees fit to bless us with that, Lord, we could have that sooner than later. That'd be great. we get to hang this up. And this gets to be evidence that from the beginning, we were audacious givers. That we did not discount the blessings that God has given us, even when we didn't have any money in the church bank account. We first gave. So this was an honor. This was an awesome thing to have. And so we're looking forward to making that a staple in the next building when we finally get to put a nail in the wall and hang something up. So that's what it looks like to be an audacious giver. And 1 Timothy 6:18 says, and this is the scripture that this is part of the scripture that we've been reading through the whole series, and we'll continue to read through the whole series. And 1 Timothy 6:18 says, they are to do good, and he's talking about rich people, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And the good works, the good deeds, we're going to talk about that next week, and that's a really good one too. But right now we're going to focus on doing good, being generous, and ready to share. So he commands the rich people. He commands them. He's telling the Corinthians, Paul is telling the Corinthians, hey, when you're hanging around rich people, encourage them to do good, to be generous and ready to share. And so in being generous and ready to share, that means you're willing to do it. If you are rich, you should be willing to share and not hold on to all the things that we have. So we're going to read out the sentence. It's the last slide, if you could put that up. We're going to read out a sentence, and this is a continuing sentence that we're doing throughout the whole series. And if you haven't written this down, write this down, because I want you to read this every day to yourself when you wake up, okay? It says, God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in riches, but in him who richly provides. And the thing that we're adding today is, because I have more, I will give more. So how do you truly be rich and be really a giver? How does that work? How do you truly give with excitement and being willing to do that? It's because rich people should never be outgiven. If you are blessed, if you are rich, you should never, never be outgiven. Should never happen. Because we are going to decide today that we're going to excel in giving. So there's two things, there's two scenarios, there's two points that make for an audacious giver. And the first thing we're going to talk about is strategically. How does an audacious giver give? They give strategically. First scripture we're going to look at is 2 Corinthians 9:7, and it says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. One thing I want to point out here is decided. Do you see that? Decided to give. This implies there was some thought before. When you decide something, that means you talk to the people important to you. You get their opinion. You want to share about it. You're just like, should I give to this thing? What should I give to? How much should I give? So there's purpose and there's thought to it. And you pray about it. And you wonder about it. And you ask God, how much should I give them? And how much should I overall be giving? And what should I do it for? Because I want to be a good steward of my money. When you decide, that's what's happening. So when you're rich, the first thing you do is you decide what you do. And so then the next thing he says, I want to point out, he talks about God loves a cheerful giver. So what is a cheerful giver? It's someone that's not pressured or pushed into giving. They don't feel like they just went somewhere and felt like, man, I was just tricked into giving money. I'll probably never give it again, but they got me that time, okay? They got me. They showed me the hungry children, and I couldn't. It was compulsive, and I had to do it, okay? That's okay, and that's great, and there's some people really good at that, okay? But we don't want that. That's not what being a cheerful giver is. So when you're a cheerful giver, there's purpose to it. You love to do it. When you're cheerful about something, you love doing it. You're pumped about it. You've decided in your heart, this is what you want to do. So I wasn't very good at this when we first started dating or even early in marriage, but I've gotten better at it in time, is gift giving. So you know, my wife is an amazing gift giver. She's just really good at it, and it's, I pale in comparison. The hard part for me is that's also like her love language, is like she loves receiving gifts, so it's hard to compete with that. But I'm getting better at it, okay? And so I have to think about it, and I decide, like before her birth, like what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And there's been a couple of years that I've been super excited because I've decided before then. I've thought about it because I love her so much. I want the gift. It might not totally communicate just how much my love I have for her, but I want to get it close. So there's this one year that her birthday's in October, in case you're wondering. And in, was it February, I got a notice about something. Hey, this is available if you want to get this, you know, whatever's coming up. And I was like, oh, I need this. This is the perfect gift. I need this for Hannah's birthday. This will show her that this is something that we share in common and we love it. And it was tickets to see a comedian that we absolutely love. His name is Brian Regan. So funny. We love him. We've listened to him since college. And I was like, I need these tickets. Okay, I need these tickets. And so I got the tickets. So for, I think, 7 months, I had to sit on them. I was so excited about it, and I was like, oh, man, please just don't make any plans on this day, and I'm trying to steer it around. I had to make, because we share our calendars, keep everything on schedule, I had to, like, make another secret calendar to put it on so I didn't forget what the day was so that I can make sure that if she puts something on the calendar, I can be like, oh, we shouldn't do it that day for whatever reason, you know? So I was, like, so excited about it. It's because I loved her, and it was a cheerful giving from me. It was purposed. That's what a cheerful giver is. And it was a home run, guys. It was awesome. She loved it. We laughed the entire time. We left the theater like hurting because we laughed so much. And that's what purposeful giving. Now, and some of you give spontaneously, okay? There's a disaster that happened, or there's someone in need, or something around the world, something went on, and there's spontaneous giving, and that's good. I don't want to discount what that is. Your willingness to spontaneously give to something is great. But if that's the only way that you give, you're limiting the power of the blessings that God has given you. If spontaneity is the only way that you give, you're robbing, you're taking away from the gift that God has given you to be an awesome, audacious giver to others. Now, spontaneity, it's good to do, it's good to do. And now, some of this might not make sense to you guys, okay? Because, you know, it's planned out. So I'll give you an example, okay? Well, we hear the story, the three wise men that came to see Jesus. Now, they didn't start their journey and go along the way and go, oh, crap, I forgot a baby gift. You know, they didn't say that. They knew that who they were seeing was important. They really cared about them. So what they did is they decided beforehand, they got the best gift possible to take on this journey to give the baby Jesus. It was purposeful, and they cheerfully gave it. That's what it looks like to be a cheerful giver. Now, some of this sounds crazy. If you're not a Christian, if you're not on board with Jesus yet right now, this is not really for you. This is more for Christians, and this sounds crazy, and that's okay because it doesn't make sense because your CPA or whoever else, your financial person tells you otherwise, okay? And that's fine. This doesn't make sense to us. This makes sense to God. This makes a lot of spiritual sense, okay? Spiritually impacting. All right, and we're going to get more in that and what that means. And so starting off, we're going to talk about Malachi 3:10. And this is what it says in Malachi 3:10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. We're going to stop right there in that scripture. So Malachi is a prophet. And Malachi communicated on behalf of God. Like he was just so in tune with God that he communicated on his behalf. And he shared with the people of the Old Testament on how do we stay together. And in this passage he's talking about is robbing from God. He's talking about what it means that you receive all these blessings from God and you don't give back. Let's set a standard and God has done it. And he calls it the tithe. Now the tithe is a Hebrew word that means tenth. Okay, and that's where we get the 10% from. That's where that has evolved from. So the Hebrew word, that means tenth. And the storehouse, a lot of scholars believe the storehouse actually means the church. So when he's talking to these people and saying giving tenth, he means the storehouse, the church. And what is a storehouse? It's a place that you gather things. You get ready for something. You gather resources. And what do you do with resources? You use them to be more effective. You don't gather things for no reason. You don't gather things just because, you know, I want to be prepared for no reason. No, you do it for something. It's purposeful. So he's telling them, bring your tenth to the storehouse so there might be food in my house. And talking about the house, he's talking about the church. So, because we believe, this is what this means in Scripture, we believe that when we bring the first fruits, the first fruits of what we have, God will bless the rest, okay? God will bless the rest, and that's how the church keeps going. That's how we bring our first fruits the most by far. You're investing in the most powerful entity on this world, which is the church. And I say that because the teachings of Jesus is the most catalyzing way to live your life beyond anything else. If you follow to heart and to T, even if you're not a believer in Christ, if you follow his teachings, I guarantee you, you're going to change. You're going to change everybody around you. It's the most catalyzing, powerful way to live your life. So as we get into this, and we talked about the tenth, I understand that might be a little hard for you guys. That might be something that's a little challenging. So I'm going to say start somewhere. Okay, a little bit blessed by God is way better than nothing blessed by God. So if 10% is, you just can't even handle it, start with 8%. If you can't start with 8%, start with 5%, 1%. Something is better, because you have to put money, that master, in its place, and that's how you start doing it. So moving on, in Matthew 23:20 thing, and you're wondering, oh, that's an Old Testament thing. I'm getting to that. All right, Matthew 23:23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes," this is Jesus talking, "woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." See, Jesus, what in this, this is a big meaning, this is the whole scripture unpacked, but there's something I want to draw out here, is that he talks about tithe as the first thing. See, the Pharisees got that down. They got money down. It's like reverse nowadays. We have those other things down, thoughtfulness, kindness, but we don't have money down, right? And so he's basically saying, this is the beginning. This is the easy part. Tithing is the easy part in it. So where do you begin? And Jesus affirms the tithing, bringing the first fruits. It's the purpose, and we get into the purpose in just a moment. And so this is ground floor on your faith. Ground floor in giving is the tithe. It's despite us and what we think about, it's the most tangible and spiritual way, an act of worship. This is the truly like most, the least way, like there's not many forms and fashions that we can do this, but this is the most tangible. This is something you can actually lay your hands on and say, Jesus, I have faith in you. I trust you. I give you my first. I give you my tithe. It's the most powerful spiritual way for us to actually tangibly do that. So there's two parts of being strategic that I want to point out to you guys. If you're taking notes, write these down. This is the first one. There's two parts of being strategic. Why it's so important is, A, tithe teaches me to put God first. Now, this is the big picture stuff that I'm talking about. So in Deuteronomy 14:23, it says, "And before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there, you shall eat the tithe of your grain or of your wine and of your oil and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you might learn to fear the Lord and your God always." It's a big fancy way of saying he calls on us to tithe because it teaches us to constantly put God first. It's a real easy way for us to, in our finances, because money is very, remember, it's the other master, it's very important to us. And if that thing is very important to us and we're constantly putting God first, it teaches us in our life, in every other aspect of our life, not just in money, to continually put God first. Always putting him first in our lives. Because I will give my first and best and trust him to bless the rest. You see how that rhymed? You can remember that. I will give him my first and best and trust him to bless the rest. Some of you right now are looking pale as a ghost. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of you are like, man, I should have skipped church today. I don't like this talk. This is not cool. And that's okay. Just hear me to the end. Because some of you are thinking like, okay, I don't do this, right? I don't do the first tithe. I don't do these things. And what you're asking me to do is completely mess up my budget. You're completely asking me to mess up my way of life, to totally turn me upside down for this thing. Is that what you're asking me? And I will say, yes, that is what I'm asking you to do, okay? That is what not I'm asking, but what Scripture is telling us to do. And this is where the big picture stuff comes in. Because it's not about the dollars. It's about your heart and what you put first. Who is the master that you truly serve? So I'm absolutely telling you guys that. It's a very powerful and spiritual act of honor to God in a very, very, very tangible way. And some of you could easily make the change. Some of you could. Some of you could add that. It just works out in your budget, right, where you could do that. But you don't, because you're a below average giver. You're a below average giver, and that's what you've always known. So there's this story of a guy who started a business, right? And this is a common story. You've probably heard this story before of somebody doing this. And this person has never tithed before, and they're fresh on Jesus, and it's like, oh, this is awesome, and I want to honor God, and this is the tangible way I can do it. So on my business, I'm going to bless, and I'm going to give a tithe on my business. Not just his personal finances, but a tithe on his business, first fruits, right? And so he does it, okay? some time passed, and God exponentially blesses his company. He makes way more money than he ever did before. It's just booming. And he goes back to the pastor that told him to tithe and do all these things. And he's like, this is great, but I don't want to do this anymore because now it's a lot of money that I got to tithe. That percentage, it didn't grow, but it grew in numbers and it hurts. And the pastor says to him, he says, okay, this is what we'll do. I'll pray that God lessens the income so that you can get back to a place where you're more comfortable putting God first again, okay? Of course, you know, that's embellishing. And the guy's like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay. There is a principle there. It is a fact. Putting God first, putting his blessings first, it's easy to do. So it's easy to put the $1 in when you have $10, but it's hard when you have $10,000 and it calls on $1,000. Whoo, man, that's a hard one to write. That's a hard check. That's a hard process payment to do online, okay? Because it's a lot of money, and you see those dollars, but it's not about the amount. It's about the percentage. It's about your heart that you decided that you're putting God first. It's the principle of it. This is a very purposeful and systematic way to consistently put God first in your life. And if it's too impossible, if you're hearing this and going, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's just, there's no possible way to even fathom, not now, not in the future. Chances are, money has been your master for too long. If money has that much control over you, that even though you are rich beyond blessing, you are in probably the 0.1% of earners, top earners in this world. If that scares you, money is too much of your master and you need to do an overhaul. You need to change something, do something different because you are serving money. So, and the second thing we're going to talk about that's about strategic, so this is B of strategically giving, is tithing increases my faith in God. It increases my faith in God. It shows me something that doesn't make sense on the numbers. It doesn't make sense on the numbers, but it makes sense in how God orders his blessings. Because 90% blessed by God, and if you are a tither, you know what I'm talking about. 90% blessed by God goes a lot further than 100% not blessed by God. 90% blessed by God. Thank you. 90%, I like it. I like that. 90% blessed by God goes a lot further than 100% not blessed by God. So you've probably heard this before, and if you haven't, here's some breaks of news for you. When a preacher preaches a series or a sermon, typically they go through whatever they have to preach on, okay? Because I have to read the scripture, and I pray on it, and I'm like, okay, I got to practice what I preach. And so I decided this last week, a week ago, I decided after I preached the last sermon, I started for this one, I was like, okay, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, all right? And beyond the giving that we already do, I'm going to give on top of that. Right, and I didn't sit there and strategically think out the percentage that would work in my budget. I said, I'm going to give this amount. That's what it's going to be. And it didn't make sense to my budget because I didn't have that money to give. Okay, there would be a bill or something that I wasn't able to pay for. I'd have to skimp on something for the rest of the month because it didn't make sense. Right, and I'm like, all right, God, let's do this. I am not kidding you. Okay, in this story that I'm about to tell you. I drive for Uber. If you didn't know that, I'm an Uber driver, and I hope to someday drive you around. And so, because it's a lot of fun. I got a 4.99 rating, and people don't believe it, okay? And that's a big deal. People get in the car, they're like, how is this even possible? You're not a real person. I said, oh, yes, I am, all right? And I'm proud of my score. I'm just a nice guy. I don't know how this is not that hard of a job. So I'm a nice guy. I have a great conversation. In fact, when other Uber drivers, I Uber them somewhere, they go, how is this possible? And they look at myself and says, you're a great conversationalist. Let's do this. And I'm like, put me on the spot. Awesome. Let's start with the hard stuff. So the other night, this last Friday night, I drive real late on Friday nights because that's when you make the most money driving Uber. I drive all the drunk toddlers around from bar to bar. And I say that because they're drunk and they move around like toddlers, okay? Like my son, just hard to walk around and run around. So I'm driving around. So I pick someone up in Midtown. If you're in Houston, you know what I'm talking about. Pick someone at Midtown, right? And it's this older couple, okay? And they get in the car. She has flowers. And I'm like, beautiful flowers. Congratulations. They're an occasion. And she goes, oh, it's our 25th anniversary. And I'm like, that's amazing, right? And the guy gets in. And I said, what's the secret? And he said, it's a secret. And I said, thanks for the help, brother. And So we begin on our journey, and the trip takes me, I drive them all the way to Cinco Ranch, and that's like a 40-minute trip, right? That's normal, it happens, you know, it's great, it's more money for me, so that's awesome. So it's a long trip, and I begin to talk to these couple, and these couple, and I can tell they're not from America, they're of Indian descent, and I start talking to them, and I say, well, what do you guys do, you know, and he tells me, oh, I own all these commercial properties, and I was like, oh, man, that's awesome, good for you. And they're like, well, what do? Do you Uber full-time? And I said, no, I'm actually a pastor of a church. And they're like, oh, great. You know, and so I've actually sold property to pastors and to churches. And there's one church in Cyprus that did amazing. They basically blew up exponentially, and I had to work with them. And I found them their next property. They went from, like 100 to like 10,000. I'm like, that's amazing. There's hope for me. And he goes, well, where are you at? And I'm like, oh, I just started a church about a year and a half old. I got about 40 people show up on a Sunday. And he says, that's exactly where they started. And I'm like, thank God. Okay, there's hope, right? Not that I want to be 10,000, whatever. You know, just I want to be effective for the kingdom. And so he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, great. And it's like, well, where are you guys from? And they're like, oh, we came from India. And I'm like, cool. And so how long have you been in the U.S.? And you've been married for 25 years, right? And he says, well, we've been in the U.S. for about 23 years. Like, cool. And she's like, yeah. And so the wife starts getting in. She's like, this is by far the greatest country in the world because of the opportunity. Because we came here with only $3,000 to our name. No connections. No job lined up. They just moved here. His first job, he was an attendant at a gas station. He learned the trade, learned about gas stations, and then he bought himself one. Then he had multiple ones. And then he moved on to commercials, and at the pinnacle of his career, he owned, I think, I don't remember the number of commercial properties he owned, but he had 400 tenants in commercial industry. That is huge, guys. Big money, okay? And I'm like, man, good for you. That is awesome. And then she goes back to, yeah, that's great and all, but one of the most amazing things was when we first got here, and that's amazing that you're a pastor, keep doing what you're doing, because we're not even Christian, okay? We're Hindu, but there was Christians in our area when we first arrived that would immunize our children for practically for free. They would give us bread. They would give us food. They would love on us, even though we didn't worship the same God. And I was like, that is amazing. That's super cool. So this is an amazing story. This long trip, and when I'm pulling up, we pull up to this gate that's in this community, and there's a, you know, when a dude walks out, just let you in the gate, you made it big, okay? It's like, are you who you're supposed to be? You're allowed to be in there? And I'm like, I'm this guy. And he's like, okay. And he comes, he sends us in, and we're driving there. I'm looking at these massive homes. I'm like, good for you guys. Man, y'all are the American dream. That's awesome. You know, and talked about the kids. We pull up to their house, and they have this beautiful house. And I said, man, it was such an honor to talk to you guys. I mean, just being able to be in the car with them and just have the blessing, just hearing their story was amazing to me, and I'll never forget it. And then he leans over to me and says, hey, you know, keep doing what you're doing here. He hands me the exact number of what I gave earlier that week. And this wasn't a small number, guys. It wasn't something easy. It didn't make sense to my. He gave me the exact to the cent of what I gave. I said, man, thank you so much. And he closes the door, and I'm driving off, and I'm trying not to bust in tears. And I'm like, God, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. Now, I don't tell you that story to trick you to think this is what always happens. That's not the case. But more often than not, it does. And there's stories that this happens because God wants you to be rich. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have, because he is your father, and he loves you very, very much. God's not a cosmic genie. You can't rub the lamp and he pops out and he gives you the boat that you've always wanted. It doesn't work that way, okay? But he will, 90% blessed goes a lot further than 100% not blessed. It first takes faith, and that's what the problem is. That's where the rub is that it first takes faith to give first. Because if you give after that, after all your bills are paid and you had all the fun that you had, and you're like, oh, I have this extra, let me give this. That's easy. That's not putting God first. That's why he says bring the first tenth to the storehouse, because it reminds us to keep having faith. It strengthens, it increases our faith in God. And this is the really cool part. This is the really cool part here, guys. This is the only spot in Scripture where God actually encouraged us to challenge him. Okay? You can search throughout Scripture. You can go look and find. This is one of the only times in Scripture the guy that actually challenges, encourages us to test him. God's like, if you don't believe me, try me. Try me. Be an audacious giver and not see what I do. And we point that out here in Malachi 3:10. This is a continuation of Malachi 3:10. And this is what it says. And thereby put me to the test. This is God, this is from the voice of God. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If, in case you were confused about who he is. The Lord of hosts. If you will not open the door, the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. If you will test him in this, he will open up the windows of heaven and bless you and bless you and bless you in amazing ways that leave you speechless in moments that you will never forget. Tithing stretches me and builds my faith in God. When we put God first and believe that he will take care of the rest. So being good at being rich, the first thing is being strategic. If you want to be good at being rich, start strategically. Be prayerful about it. Be purposed in it. Because then you can find yourself in a place where you love to give. Intentional people respect the blessing that God gives them and blesses others. So, and I talked about this last week. It's a sweet spot of giving, right? So there's a point where, like, I don't have enough money, I never will, or I have too much money and it's hard to give. There's a sweet spot in the middle where your needs are met, but you're audaciously generous and you're giving and your faith is built upon that. And so that's a hard place to find. And the chances are, if you've never heard of that, you have never strategically given. If this message is too hard for you, there's a chance that you've never actually had a plan when it came to giving your first. If you strategically and you begin to do that, and you begin to realize and see in your life that it's more to bless others than it is to receive. So when you have a plan, it's fun and it's joyful in giving, because when you're blessed, you're able to bless others. So we all have values in our life, right? There's things that matter to you. When you turn on the TV, that one commercial might mean something to you, but it might not mean something to somebody else. There's things that matter to you. Here's the cool thing. God gave you those values on purpose. And then he blessed you on purpose so that you can bless and give to those things that you care about. If you care about orphans, he has blessed you with the means you are rich to give to orphans and help them. If you're very passionate about stop human trafficking, he's given you opportunities to give and to help stop human trafficking. He's blessed you with the means to do that. So we honor and we thank him for that. That's one of the beautiful things about God and awesome how it all works together. So the second big thing to being an audacious giver, and we're going to write this down, is that we give audaciously. When I say audaciously, I mean extravagantly. And here's a few examples of what exactly that means. So Solomon, in Scripture, in the Old Testament, Solomon, the wisest man ever known, Solomon was being anointed to be king. And he was supposed to, so in that time, when you're anointed to be king, you have to give something. And it's to give one bull. What does Solomon say? Solomon said, no, I'm rich. I'm going to give like a rich person. So instead of one bull, he gave 1,000 bulls because of that. That's what it looks like to be an audacious giver. David, when the temple needed to be built, his heart was broken about it, that there it wasn't in existence and it was needed there. So David gave out of his own riches. He gave out of his own riches. And the cool thing is that scholars to this date, after looking at Scripture and in history and knowing what he gave, to date, David's giving to the temple to have it built is by far the largest some percentage of money or riches ever given in history. It would amount in close to multiple billions of dollars. That would be what it would be to us today. And it was not because he wanted to show off, it's because he wanted God to have his first best on the go. He wanted to be ready. Say, God, you have my first, and I want to bless. And so I want my God to have the best temple. And so he gave. In Mark 14, there's a woman that is talked about in Mark 14 that has a questionable a questionable industry that she's in. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, all right? And she meets Jesus. Jesus comes along. And Jesus transforms and changes her life. He gives her life when she didn't have a life. And he forever changes her. And so what does she do? She goes home and she grabs this jar of oil. This was like perfume, which is, you could probably make the argument that was meant for future business, you know, because it smelled good, you know, to attract future business, okay? So it was very important to her. And it was a year's worth salary to buy this oil. So it was very valuable. So what did she do? Because her life was so changed, she went to Jesus in front of all these rich people and the people around him, the people that he's teaching. She takes it and she breaks the bottle and pours every ounce over Jesus' head, knowing that some of it probably is going to hit the floor. Some of it's probably going to be wasted. But she wanted her best for God because Jesus gave her something that money could not buy. Changed her life forever. That's what it looks like to be an audacious giver. There's a widow that is talked about, that Jesus talks about in Scripture, that gave two copper coins. And so we'll just go ahead and read the Scripture right here. It says Luke 21:1-4, and this is how the story goes. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." She was so in love with God that she gave audaciously in a way that did not make sense to her finances. When she went home and put in Excel, it didn't make sense. It went red. It said error. This doesn't make sense. But she loved God that much that she gave audaciously. And I guarantee you, she was blessed because of it. It's not about the amount, guys. Some of you give, and that's great, and that's awesome. But it's not about the amount. It's about the percentage. Because the percentage is what communicates that you put God first. And when you give that percentage. This is how you constantly keep that master of money in its place. There's a story of a pastor that, well-known pastor, and he travels a lot, and so it's not hard to find information about him. And he's gone on this missions trip, and if you've ever been on a missions trip to a foreign land, when you go, you typically find yourself in a place, in a home, where they're going to feed you a meal, okay? And you're in a foreign land that's not America. You don't know what this food is, and so this pastor sits down. It's nerve-wracking. You pray a lot over it, because you don't know if your stomach can handle what they eat. And so he sits down, and the lady of the house brings out the food, gives her the food, and gives him this big plate of meat, right? And he's looking at the meat, and he's like, and it's a lot. And he's going, "All I've seen here is scrawny cats. What is this?" You know, he's thinking this in his head, but, you know, he didn't want to be disrespectful, so he ate it. He gobbled it down. Great, you know. But he was looking around, and he realized that nobody else had meat on their plate, right? So this pastor is a big fan of steak, right? Big meat fan, right? And so she did her research on him and found out that he really loves meat, loves eating meat. So the translator, he's like, asking the translator, he's like, "What was the deal with that? What did that even mean?" And the translator tells him, he says, "She found out that you love meat so much, you're so excited that you were coming and that your presence was going to be here. She wanted to honor you that she went to town and use money that she didn't really have to spend to buy as much meat as she could and didn't give to anybody else in her family, but she wanted to make sure that you had it and that you were blessed." Wow. That is what audacious giving is. It's when it doesn't make sense to your bank account, doesn't make sense to your wallet, but your heart is what decides it for you. An amazing, amazing story of being audaciously giving. So some of you right now, I know what you're thinking. If you're listening online, if you're watching on the web, whatever it is, I know what you're thinking. All the churches wants my money. He just wants my money, so he's giving this fancy talk. And if you feel that way, I'm a little ashamed in you because you're rich, all right? And this is what I'll tell you. If you think I'm hung up about getting your money into Village Heights, give it somewhere else, okay? I have a large list of nonprofits that can do some awesome stuff with your money. Give it to them. One of them is in representation. Give it somewhere else. And if you need help doing it, it's not going to hurt my feelings. You can keep coming to Village Heights, whatever it is. But I believe in this principle so much and had it alive in my life. And I know others that it has been life-changing for them in putting God first with their tithe. And he blesses the rest that don't give it here, give it somewhere else if you think I'm hung up about it. Okay? But as for Village Heights, we are rich. Village Heights is rich, and we're going to give like rich people give. We're going to continue to bless Star of Hope. We're going to continue to partner with organizations like amazing organizations like Elijah Rising. We're going to continue to partner with organizations like the Summer House, and we're going to give extravagantly in ways that doesn't make sense to our bank account because we are rich, and we are going to be rich givers because we represent the one who richly gave. Before we did anything, before you existed, God gave his only son first. Before you believed, he gave his son first to die for you. So in his example, as the most gracious giver ever known, we are going to be strategic and audacious in our giving. We're going to be good at giving a rich. So imagine with me, guys. Now you know that you're rich. And imagine if you just take a little bit of it and you give it away and you bless somebody. Somebody either in this community or around the world will be thanking God for your blessings. And that is truly an honor. So this is the sentence we can put up. Say it with me, please. God has blessed me with more than I need. I'm rich. I will not trust in my riches, but in him who richly provides. Because I have more, I will give more. You don't give like an average giver. You give like a rich person gives. So give big, guys. Put him to the test. Put him to the test. Try him. It's the only thing that we can do. And we can tangibly give in a big way that makes a lot of spiritual sense. So thank you guys so much for being here. I know this is a hard conversation. And if you want to talk more about this stuff, please, open door, email me, call me, whatever it is, because I want your 90% blessed rather than your 100% not blessed, okay? I'm going to pray and we're going to be dismissed. Lord, thank you so much for all that you do in our lives. Thank you. Thank you so much for being the example of being giving. Thank you for first giving to us and giving us the ultimate present, your son, fully God, fully man, as a sacrifice for us. Lord, help us see where we are serving money in our life. Money is our master, Lord. Help us see where those places are so we can change it. We can flip the script. We can change it all up in our minds and our budgets so that we are always putting God first and building our faith in you as we strategically and audaciously give, Lord. In the same way, bless Village Heights, Lord, that the finances that we receive, that because we are rich, that we will always give and bless just as we are rich. Lord, we love you so much. Bless us as we go and as we put you to the test, Lord. Thank you so much for the opportunity for that. In your name we pray, the powerful name of Jesus, amen.